Psalm 69. And I just want us to consider one verse from this psalm, and we'll be talking about some other passages of Scripture as well this morning. But Psalm 69, notice these words by King David in verse 20. He said, "Reproach hath broken my heart, and I am full of heaviness. And I looked for some to take pity, but there was none, and for comforters, but I found none." Let's pray. Father, we pray that as we open the Scriptures this morning, that you will teach us and instruct us and help us to learn what we need to learn, and then help us to take and apply what we need to apply in our lives. Lord, so we're asking you through the working of your Holy Spirit to minister to each heart this morning through the preaching of your word. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. In case you haven't noticed, there are a lot of lonely people in this world. And loneliness is not good. That's why in Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, we read, "The Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make him an help meet for him." So God agrees with me that loneliness is not a good thing. Now, those who study these subjects tell us that there are six main types of loneliness. There is interpersonal loneliness. This is a result of losing a significant or intimate relationship. Second is social loneliness. That's where a person is on the fringes of a group or excluded from a group or is actively rejected. And then there is cultural loneliness. That's where a person belongs to a different culture and that person feels that he doesn't fit or belong in the new culture. Then there is intellectual loneliness. This is where people feel intellectually or educationally out of sync with their peers or their family or their social group. Then there's psychological loneliness. This is where people have experienced the trauma that separates them from others around them. That is, it's something other people can't fully understand. And then number six is called existential or cosmic loneliness, and this is an isolating loneliness experienced by a person who is facing death. And every day, there are folks who are experiencing one of these six kinds of loneliness. Today, we live in a society that is filled with lonely people. You might remember that Paul McCartney used to sing a song about loneliness. The name of the song was "All the Lonely People." The words to the song ask a question. It says, "All the lonely people, where do they come from? All the lonely people, where do they belong?" Good questions. Good questions. It's interesting that sometimes if you talk to a young person who lives in a little town like ours, you know, little Pascogue, they'll tell you that they just can't wait to get out of little Pascogue and move to the city because they want to surround themselves with people. But you know what? In every city, even with thousands of people around them, you will find people who are lonely. As a matter of fact, you can be world famous and still be lonely. Albert Einstein one time said this, "It is strange to be known so universally and yet to be so lonely." It's sad that people feel this way. And it's especially sad because in a lot of cases in our society, many of those people turn to drugs or alcohol to help them to cope with their loneliness. And that just leads them down the path that's even worse. Now, what is the cause of all this loneliness? Well, researchers have discovered that the majority of loneliness most likely comes from two places. One of them is technology. We have television. People spend hours and hours each day having people talk to them, but they don't talk to anyone. Cell phones. People spend hours texting and tweeting each other, but not really vocally talking to anyone. And of course, we have computers. People spend hours and hours pushing the keys on their computers, sending emails and posting on Facebook, but not really vocally talking to anyone. The famous newspaper columnist Ann Landers one time said this: "Television has proved that people will look at anything rather than at each other." And that's true. So technology certainly can be blamed for much of the loneliness that people experience today. And then number two, and this may kind of go along with that, and that's lack of friendship. Lack of friendship. If you're familiar with social media, you know that the term friend is often used to describe contacts rather than relationships. For instance, on Facebook, people might say they have thousands of friends, but what they're really saying is they have thousands of contacts because they have never actually talked to that person, those people, or seen those people face to face. The late radio talk show host Bernard Meltzer one time said this. He said, "A true friend is someone who thinks that you're a good egg even when they know you're slightly cracked." I like that. I like that. And I'll tell you what, a true friend is the one thing in life that we should treasure more than anything, other than God, of course. He, of course, is to be treasured above all. Someone said, "It's not always easy to know who your true friends are, but generally a true friend will tell you what you don't want to hear, while a false friend will tell you what you do want to hear." But make no mistake about it, loneliness can be torture. As a matter of fact, one of the ways terrorists will torture people when they capture them is to put them in isolation. And prisons often use it to punish criminals. Loneliness can be torture. And David, King David, was someone who understood about being lonely. Look at the words of our text again. "Reproach hath broken my heart, and I am full of heaviness, and I looked for some to take pity, but there was none, and for comforters, but I found none." And so this morning, I want us to consider this subject of loneliness by looking at two things. Now, the first one we're just going to deal with real quick, and the second one is where we'll spend most of our time this morning. But the first thing is this: the problem of loneliness. The problem of loneliness. We touched a little bit on it already. You know, some folks are so lonely that they are willing to get on the internet and talk to people they can't see and they don't know and tell them intimate details about their life. And that's sad. That's sad. But you know, loneliness is not something new. Think about where loneliness began. It began in the Garden of Eden when Adam was created. Adam saw the birds flocking together. He saw the monkeys playing together. But Adam was all alone. He was a lonely dude. And so, again, as I quoted earlier, God saw that he was alone. And God said there in Genesis 2:18, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him and help meet for him." So it is not good for people to be alone. Loneliness is a problem, and it can be a serious and overwhelming problem for some folks. But I don't just want to point out to you this morning the problem of loneliness. I want to point out to you, secondly, and we'll spend most of our time here on the prescription for loneliness. The prescription for loneliness. See, I don't want to be like some of these politicians, you know. They might give an hour-long speech on how to fight inflation, and when they've completed their speech, they've done no more than state the problem, and they've given no solutions, right? I don't want to be like that this morning. Loneliness is a bad thing, and so I want to share with you some things that can cure loneliness in your life. And the cure, let me just say right at the beginning, the cure comes through relationships. Through relationships. See, God has created us in such a way that our lives need to be connected to man, and more importantly, they need to be connected to God. A lot of folks who are surrounded by earthly friends are still very lonely. Why? Because they need a heavenly friend. They need a heavenly friend. Our life is to be built around the Lord Jesus. When people do not have their relationship with the Lord right, they're going to go through life realizing something is missing. And this results in loneliness. They need the Lord. If you were here last week, you might remember Pastor Mike when he gave his testimony before he sang. He talked about how people have a hole in their heart that only God can fill. Now, you pray for Pastor Mike. For the next 2 weeks, he's going to be preaching at Bible Baptist Church in Bellingham. The pastor's away for 2 weeks, and so he's preaching there Sunday morning, Sunday night, this week, next week. And you can pray for my daughter, Carly. You'll notice Carly's not in church this morning. She's playing the piano for them this week, because when the pastor's wife is gone, there's nobody to play the piano. So she's gone over there to play the piano for their services. So you pray for Mike and Kathy and Carly as they minister in Bellingham. But that's you. If you were here, you remember. He talked about that hole that only God can fill. People need a personal relationship with God, excuse me, that comes only through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And they need that relationship so that when they are lonely, they can claim the promises of God that are available only to God's people. See, if you don't know the Lord, you have no claim on any of his promises. But if you do know him, there are some wonderful promises to claim that help you with loneliness. I jotted down a few. Let me remind you of a few. For instance, Joshua 1:9, it says, "Be strong and of a good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." What a great promise we can claim as God's people. He's promised to be with us wherever we go. How about Psalm 23:4? "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Why? "For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." We can claim that promise as the people of God. Over in the book of Isaiah, chapter 41 and verse 10, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." Again, a great promise we can claim as the people of God. Over in Isaiah chapter 43, verses 1 to 3, "Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. When thou passest through the water, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior." Great promises that we can claim. He's with us wherever we are, whatever we're going through. And then, of course, you get over into the New Testament. And Jesus says in Matthew 28:20, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." And over in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." What great promises from our heavenly friend. He is by far the best friend we have or will ever have. He's the one described in Proverbs 18:24 as the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. To conquer loneliness in our lives, we have to have a proper relationship with the Lord Jesus, because there is nothing or nobody in this world that can take the place that only He can fill in your heart. So it's a wonderful thing that we can have a heavenly friend. But as I said, not only do we need a heavenly friend, but we also need earthly friends. When we are lonely, we can reach out to God, our Heavenly Father. And what a wonderful thing that is. He's available 24/7. The Bible says He never slumbers or sleeps. Wonderful. But thankfully, He has also made it possible for us to reach out to our earthly friends. Have you ever thought about the reason God commanded us to assemble ourselves together in His name? God's word does tell us in Hebrews 10:25 not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Why? Well, first, because He knows that I don't need someone just to talk to me. I need someone I can talk to. That's what gathering together helps us with. And secondly, because reason we get together is, you know, because I need friends, you need friends, brothers and sisters in Christ that can put their arm around us and tell us they love us. We need that. We need that. Remember, when you receive Christ, you become part of a family, the family of God. And one of the things that requires our attention and really our constant attention, is maintaining a good relationship with God and people. Because missing out on either one affects our life. Consider, if you will, what the Bible tells us about King Solomon. He had everything a man could dream of having. He had material goods. He had wealth, he had fame, and the Bible says he had 1,000 women in his life. And yet we see, as we read the book of Ecclesiastes, he talks about how his life is filled with vanity and vexation of spirit. His life is empty. He has 1,000 women, and he's lonely and empty. And if you've ever read the life of Solomon, you know that's because those 1,000 pagan, idol-worshiping women led him away from God. He had bad relationships with people, and it affected his relationship with God. For him, even with all of those things that he had, life was still empty and lonely. Some of the most miserable people on the face of the earth are people that seem to have everything, yet, you know, they're living on drugs and alcohol just to cope with life, because they don't have a good relationship with God and they don't have a good relationship with others. It's important, vitally important, that we have a right relationship with our Heavenly Father and the right relationship with our fellow man. Because those relationships keep us from experiencing serious bouts of loneliness. But besides having the right relationships in our life with God and humans, we must also do something. Do something. You know, there are some people who just sit around all day. And when they wake up in the morning, they have no reason to crawl out of bed, none whatsoever. These are lonely people because they choose to be lonely. Folks, God was not kidding when he said that we should work 6 days and rest one. God created us to do something with these bodies. In Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 10, we read, "Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave, whither thou goest." Many are waiting on God to send a bolt of lightning down from heaven to tell them what to do when God has already told them what to do. God said, "Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might." God did not create you to sit and just take up space. He tells us to find something to do and do it. Think about what happens when people just sit around and don't do anything. Let me illustrate it this way. Did you know that during the day, our bodies always have a place that needs to be scratched? That is a scientific reality. These bodies of ours are constantly sending signals that they need to be scratched. And the time we're aware of this is when we're sitting still and doing absolutely nothing. When we're busy doing something, we're not aware of these scratch sensations that we experience. And here's the problem. The only thing people that sit around alone each day have to focus on is that feeling, you know, in a sense that they need to scratch an itch, or that they have a pain here or a pain here. They just dwell on their problems constantly, and the more they think about them, the bigger those problems become in their mind, and they end up making a mountain out of a molehill, and they spend their whole day just singing the blues, "Woe is me," all day long. So for heaven's sake, do something. And you won't have time to sit around doing a 24-hour self-examination. Listen, God tells us that if something needs to be done, then just get up and do it. And he tells us why. He says, "For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest." There are those who are lonely because they choose to be lonely. They're the ones that are always saying, "Why don't people shake my hand?" Well, listen, why don't you take the initiative and shake their hand? Why don't people make time for me? Well, why don't you make time for other people? Why don't people come to my house and visit me? Well, why don't you go to people's houses and visit them? Listen, some are lonely because they bought themselves a Lazy Boy recliner, and they have sat in that Lazy Boy recliner for so long that they have become a lazy boy, right? You know, the Bible does tell us in Proverbs 18:24, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. You have to take the initiative to make friends in order to overcome loneliness. And that's another way of saying we must do something. People can cure their loneliness problem if they would simply spend some time with God the Father and spend some time making friends and being with friends. Stay active. Stay busy and stay involved with others. Don't be a slug and just sit around and sing the "woe is me" song all day. Now you might say, "Pastor, calling people a slug is not nice." Hey, take it up with God. That's his term for it. In the book of Proverbs, 6 times he warns us about not being a sluggard a sluggard. So spend some time with God the Father every day and spend some time making friends and being with friends. Be involved with people. Now, in this message this morning, I've spent most of my time really preaching to Christians. But let me just say something this morning, in case there's somebody here and you do not know the Lord in a personal way in your life. Did you know that one of the horrors of going to hell will have to do with loneliness? I've had lost people say to me, well, if I go to hell, all my friends will be there. Like it's going to be some kind of party. But let me tell you something. In the flames of hell, they're going to be in torment as much as you. And in hell, you have no friends. You have no friends. You know, you'll hear the screams and you'll feel the torment, but you're not going to see anybody. The Bible describes it as outer darkness. In hell, you'll have no friends. And at that point, you will have lost God out of your life for eternity, and you will be in hell alone for eternity. Now, if you know me, and if you've known me for a long time, you know that the subject of hell is my least favorite subject to preach about. But if I'm going to be a faithful preacher of the Word of God, then I do have to mention this from time to time. I'd much rather preach on heaven. I'd much rather talk about what Jesus did to get us to heaven, how he shed his blood and died on that old rugged cross for our sins and then rose again the third day so that when we put our faith in him, we can know that we're going to spend eternity with him in heaven. I love to preach that. But the reality is that many people will be in hell because they sat in church. And when the invitation was given for them to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, they rejected that invitation. And please understand this. As your pastor, I don't want that to happen to you. I don't want you to be one of that number. You think the loneliness that we experience in this life can be bad. You know what? It's nothing compared to the eternal loneliness experienced by those who wind up in hell. And so my challenge is simple. Come to Christ. Come to Christ today. Open up your heart. And in prayer, let him know that you're receiving him as your Savior, that you're putting all your trust and all your hope, all your faith in him for forgiveness and eternal life. Come to Christ and establish your relationship with God so that you can spend eternity with him and with us in that place where we will never experience loneliness again. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the Word of God and for this opportunity we've had to look into the Scriptures today. And I thank you, Lord, that you've made it possible for us to have a personal relationship with you and know your presence in our lives every moment of the day. What a wonderful thing that is. We thank you that we can claim those promises about you being with us wherever we go. Lord, we don't really ever need to feel lonely. But we also thank you for family and friends and church folks that you've put in our lives, Lord, to also help us with loneliness. Help us to be a friendly person so that we can have good friends in our lives, so that we won't spend our time in loneliness. And then, Father, we do pray that if there happens to be one here this morning that does not know you, I pray that this morning they'd open up their heart and receive Christ, that they'd pray, Lord, come into my heart, forgive me of my sin, cleanse me, give me eternal life and a home in heaven. I'm trusting you and you alone as my Savior. And Lord, I know that if they'll call out to you that way, you're not going to turn them away, because you don't turn people away who come to you in faith. And so, Father, don't let anybody leave here today without knowing that everything's okay, that they have a good relationship with you.